Here we are at the Chapel in the Pines on Sunday morning, looking out at an empty congregation. We are so sorry that you are not here, but we certainly didn't want to leave you hanging in the middle of a six-part sermon series on Les Miserables, so we picked that up today. Our thanks go out to Dan Stoltz, our sound engineer today, and to the Lee family, Edward and Tamara, and my favorite college student, Anna. We're so glad that all of you came to be here today, and we're glad that at least online we can share this worship service with all of you. We continue today with the six-part sermon series based on Victor Hugo's novel Les Miserables. This is the fourth time we have explored a particular character or characters in this epic story, and also the unique concept that each of these particular characters embody. We have met Jean Valjean, whose life was transformed by grace. Then Valjean's jailer, Javert, whose obsession was with justice. And through these two men, we experienced grace and justice on a collision course. Last Sunday, we grew to know Fantine, and we were saddened and convicted by the poverty in which she lived and in which so many live today. Now, this Sunday, I want to introduce you to two naive and idealistic young people. One, pampered, a member of the aristocracy, who easily flits from one good cause to another, one political ideology to another. The second, abused and poor, one of the truly miserable in Les Miserables, until her rescue. And we will see how together they receive the gift of love, a gift that brings hope to us all.
Though I may speak with bravest fire and have the
inward love abide, redeem
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, for you are our rock, you are our Redeemer. Amen. One of the greatest longings of the human heart is to know and experience true love. There are many types of love. There's the love among friends and family, philos in Greek, or brotherly or sisterly love. There is agape love, or unearned and unconditional love that can be aspired to by humans, but is most often expressed in spiritual terms, such as the love of God in Exodus 34, and he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands. Or for Christians, the love of Jesus we hear described in John 15, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. But the gift of love that we are exploring today is not either of these types of love. Today, through Cosette and Marius, we meet Eros, a passionate and intimate love that begins with an explosion of hormones and emotion, but grows and matures into shared lives of care and nurturing, and, as we pastors say in weddings, two people living as one. Now, philos and agape are found throughout the Bible. Eros, we have to look a bit harder to find, but it's there. Oh, yes, it is there. In the Song of Solomon, sometimes called the Song of Songs, we hear of two people in the depths of romantic love. Listen to this. How beautiful you are, my love. How very beautiful. Your eyes are doves. Your lips are like a crimson thread. Your breasts are like two fawns that feed among the lilies. You have ravished my heart. You have ravished my heart with a glance of your eyes. How sweet is your love. How much better is your love than wine. And as you might expect, there is a reply. My beloved is all radiant and ruddy. His head is the finest gold. His locks are wavy. His eyes are like doves. His arms are rounded gold set with jewels. His body is ivory work. His legs are alabaster columns. This is my beloved. And finally, set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For Eros, this kind of love, is as strong as death, passion, fierce as the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, a raging flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. This is the love that Cosette and Marius share. But how did that come to be? On Fantine's deathbed, Valjean makes a pledge to care for her daughter Cosette as if she was his own. But with Valjean constantly in hiding to avoid recapture by Javert, this proves difficult. Until Valjean and Cosette are taken in by an old friend at a monastery where they live lives of peace and security for many years. But as Cosette grows older, the monastery becomes less like a refuge and more like a prison. She yearns to experience the world outside the garden walls. And not knowing her adopted father's criminal past and his need to be in hiding, she can only surmise that Valjean, in keeping her away from others, is just being overly protective. Because of his mother's death when he was a child, Marius is raised by his grandfather, who is estranged from Marius's father over differing political views. Marius's grandfather is a member of the elite who are loyal to the French monarchy, and Marius is raised as a member of the aristocracy, that is, until he has a falling out with his grandfather and is cut off from the family fortune. Now, Marius takes on the same political views as his deceased father and joins the French rebellion against the monarchy. It is in the midst of all of this turmoil that Marius spies the now beautiful young woman, Cosette, as she walks through a Paris garden. And he is instantly consumed with her. And for the two of them, it is love at first sight. Or as we heard in the Song of Solomon, she ravished his heart with a glance of her eyes. But there is a challenge to their love. It must be said of Valjean that the only person he ever truly loved was Cosette. And now Marius desires to take her away. Valjean resists to the point of threatening to move to England and to take Cosette with him. But through the drama of Marius being wounded in the revolution, Valjean saving his life, a reconciliation between Marius and his grandfather, an incomplete admission by Valjean of his criminal past to the two lovers, through all of this and much more, near the end of the story, Marius and Cosette are finally married with everyone's approval. And Matt Rawl, in his book, The Grace of Les Miserables, says that he believes that Victor Hugo delayed this marriage to the closing chapters of his book because the marriage of Marius and Cosette becomes a symbol of hope. You see, Cosette and Marius's love for each other and their eventual marriage is much more than just a story that ends well. Their love brings reconciliation to two families and the hope of stability and peace for them and perhaps even for an entire country in the throes of revolution. Their love is everything that Paul, in his unorganized and rambling sort of way, tries to describe to the people of the church in Corinth when he writes, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes. Love never fails." Love like this is one of God's greatest gifts and allows two people and those who witness their love for each other to build a present and future hope. And it is clear that in the context of Les Miserables, the marriage of Marius and Cosette is the concept through which hope is discovered by all. Marriage, you see, is a sacrament, an outward and visible sign of an inward reality of grace. And the sacrament of marriage throughout the history of the church has been said to reflect the love of Christ for his church, his love for the people of the church, his love for all of God's children. We know through Scripture that Jesus has a brotherly, a sisterly, a familial love for us. Through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we are assured that Jesus has an agape love for us, a love that is undeserved, unmerited, and unlimited. But through the sacrament of marriage, now we come to understand that Jesus has a passionate, an intimate love for us. Jesus has an overwhelming desire to love us into eternity. And that is our source of hope. The Apostle Paul writes that faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Faith is trusting that God will be true to all of God's promises. Hope is trusting in things that are yet unseen. But love is the greatest of these because it is the glue that holds faith and hope together. Even in the face of suffering, violence, misplaced notions of justice, and human-induced poverty of the French Revolution, and in the face of that and more in our lives, love remains. Love is still at work. Love reigns. Love never fails. The love of God abounds. And even in trying times such as these, this is our hope. In the name of the loving, liberating, and life-giving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.